here again. I want to ask you to take your Bibles. We're going to be looking this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to read the first verse as my leaping into the message. And if you've noticed, we're starting a new series today on Touching Heaven. It's going to be a series on prayer. This is going to take us up, Lord willing, to our Easter season. Also get us ready for, if you remember, the first Sunday in March, Michael Gott, an evangelist whom we support through our ministries here at Harmony Hill, international evangelist. Michael is used by the Lord so much in Eastern Europe. He's over there now. Martha Bailey, one of our church members, is still over there. She's extended her time with them just to let you know just what God is doing in this new city that they were going to. They were expecting to have around 600 people, 400 to 600 people to sign up. It's a town of about 300,000 people. They have had over 1,000 people to respond. They're going to be coming to ESL classes and then coming to, Lord willing, the evangelistic services in the evening. And so they were desperate for more workers for the ESL classes, and they worked it out with Martha and Terry for her to stay. And so I'm just grateful for that. I know Martha's going to be really tired. And so as you remember her in prayer, please just pray for God's strength on her as she continues to minister there. And then remember also, Michael will be with us the first Sunday in March, March the 6th. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have Sunday evening services. I want to give Michael an opportunity just to get a chance to speak to us and minister to us. Not only does he speak the word clearly to those outside of Christ, but he has such a strong message for the church. And I want to encourage you to be there. We're going to do something special as well. I'm going to get an opportunity to get back in the baptismal waters and do some baptizing. And so we have a number of people that need to be baptized. We're going to be working with them. We're going to have a special baptismal service that evening on March the 6th, and I'll get to get wet, and I'm looking forward to that, just to be able to get back into the water again and do that. And so please remember that, if you will. We're just looking forward to see what God is going to do. Well, in thinking about church growth, we had a great Life 101 class a couple of weeks ago. What I like to do, I can't give you all of them today. We had, the last total was 59 new additions to our fellowship. And I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you about 25 of those. And so if you'll watch the screen, I'll give you their names, and then you'll be able to welcome them into the fellowship here at Harmony Hill. First of all is Jonathan, Carmen, and Miranda Barge, Herb and Jan Blackman, Connie and Greg Burkett, Heather Burkett, Robert and Ashley Burks, John Chavins, Caitlin Chung, Christopher Collins and Callie Bush, Clint and Breanne Connor, Dave and Deb Cook, Courtney Coulter Hasildo, Brad Dewey, Ken Farrell, Giselle Fuentes, Betty Grable, Christiana Guevara, Trevor Havard, Alyssa Hooper, Brandon and Sarah Johnson, Roy and Tiffany Maddox, Katie McLaughlin, Caleb and Tasha McMullen, Kaylin Means and Cy Wilson, Phil and Paula Metzinger, Jerry and Ophelia Mitchell. If you will, let's welcome them into the fellowship here at Harmony Hill. Will you do that? Yeah. Each of these made a commitment to be members here and to encourage us in the way and to work as members of the church, and so we're excited to have them. All right, if you look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, I want to read from the New American Standard, which is normally what I read from on Sunday morning. It's my pulpit version. And Paul is writing here, and he says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Now, He is using kind of hyperbole here. There is nothing as far as Scripture is concerned, a language of angels. Nowhere in Scripture do we ever find that angels spoke a language in heaven that they didn't speak on earth. Every time an angel talked, everybody was able to understand what they were saying. So he was saying, even if I could speak all the languages of the earth, even if there was a language of heaven, a language of angels, and I could speak that, if I didn't love others, then my communication to them, my talking to them, my reaching out to them would be nothing more than an irritation. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, because we're talking about starting this new series about touching heaven, which is a focus on prayer. And here at Valentine's, I think talking about prayer is providential, and there is a reason why. I want you to get out your life point outline, and I want to give you this first truth, and I want you to think about this. The prayers of many spouses, husbands and wives, go unanswered, not because God does not hear, but because that loved one, that husband, that wife, fails at love. And because they fail at love, their prayers don't get answered. There are a number of times that we want to toss off on Satan, that, well, Satan's just coming against me. He's coming against my family. He's coming against me. He's coming against my spouse and myself. He's coming against me and my child. And we want to throw things off on Satan. And sometimes we look for a demon under every rock. You know, the thing that I've said again and again is you and I are fully capable of producing our own personal hell without Satan getting involved in it. We can make a mess of our family and our relationship lives without Satan ever getting involved in it. We're totally capable of doing that ourselves. And I think there are those times that as parents, we feel like that our prayers for our children are not going anywhere. And if that's where you are, I want you to listen very carefully this morning. And there's maybe a husband here or a wife, and you want your home to be better. And I know in pastoring for so long, there are husbands and wives that are living together, and they would never go into court and proceed with divorce proceedings. But the reality is that they are emotionally divorced. It's no longer two people in love. It's just two people, miserable people, staying in the same house. And I want you to know that's a sin. That's a sin against God. It is a sin of a husband against a wife. It is a sin of a wife against a husband. And husbands feel like, and wives feel like, that their prayers for their spouse is just like not getting anywhere. And here's the next insight I want to give you in your outline. Nothing hinders prayer for family like a lack of love. Because that's what God is teaching us here in Scripture. I want you to listen to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This is in the Living Bible. Now just listen to what it says. Wives, just listen real still. Wives, fit in with your husband's plans. For then, if they refuse to listen when you talk to them about the Lord, they will be won by your respectful, pure behavior. Your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. Now, I want to tell you, ladies, why that is effective. We're talking about a woman living with a man who is lost. And why is it that that wife begins her life just speak so much to a man who is lost? The reason is not just because when it talks about her being a godly woman, it's talking about her fulfilling what we've learned here in 1 Corinthians 13. It's talking about her being a loving wife. And the reason the husband is willing to listen to her, the reason he's open to her, is because she showed love to him in a way that when she was trying to express her love to him, he felt it. He felt her love because it was communicated to him in a way that she could understand. And I want you, that is the key thing here. If I'm going to express love biblically to Catherine, it's got to be not just a love that I say I'm expressing love to her. It's got to be that she says, he loves me. Does that make sense? Because if she doesn't say, he loves me, I'm just beating my head against the wall. I'm not getting anywhere. And so the one who determines whether or not what you're doing is showing love is the other one. What are they hearing? Now that was the wife. Now listen about the husband. Verse 7. You husbands must be careful of your wives. Be thoughtful of their needs, honoring them as the weaker sex. Remember that you and your wife are partners in receiving God's blessings. Now listen, and if you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not get ready answers. It doesn't matter, guys, how much we tell our wives, I love you, babe. If their ears can't hear it, Paul says you're nothing more than a clanging cymbal. You know, when you get in a room and you pick up a cymbal and you just start banging it, that's irritating, right? Y'all tracking with me? And after a while, in some marriage relationships, whenever a husband says, I love you, babe, she just wants to say, oh, shut up. I get so tired of hearing that. You can't even spell it. And it can go the same way on the guy's side. And so what I'm simply saying is, love is in the ear of the hearer. That's what he's saying here. And so what we're going to do today, what I want to do, is I want to talk to you about language in marriage and in the family. And I mean, just it goes along with, you know, with this whole Valentine's theme. And the reason is because how I communicate that I love Catherine, how I communicate that to her matters. It matters. It's important how I do that. And it's more important even than what I feel. It's about how I communicate it. Because you can really feel it. But you can be shooting yourself in the foot by how you communicate it, all right? So, let's look, number one, if you look in your life point outline, about the value of language. It matters how I communicate my love. And I know what I'm going to tell you this morning. This is going to be very, I won't say simplistic, but simple. And for some of you, it's going to be revelational. For others of you, it's going to just be kind of a reminder because you've heard some of what I'm going to say before. What I'm going to say this morning is not brand new. It's been around for a number of years. But I just really felt like there was a need because I need to hear this again, and I felt like that you did as well. And I want to look at the truth in your outline. Language is the foundation on which relationships are built and maintained. In other words, the foundation stone of your marriage, the foundation stone, if you're in a serious dating relationship with somebody that you see, this is the significant, this is the one that you want to spend the rest of your life with. And what I want you to know is, what God is saying is, that relationship is maintained by what comes out of your mouth. The world thinks it's maintained by a sexual, physical relationship. It's not. That's why there's so many people in Hollywood are on their seventh and eighth marriage. Can you get married eight times? That's illegal, isn't it, counsel? Is it illegal to get married eight times? It's not. Well, it ought to be. But anyway, the whole deal is, when people get married that many times, it is simply because they've not realized this truth that God is saying. It isn't about the physical. What God is saying is that the relationship in a home is built and maintained by what comes out of the mouth. It is so absolutely huge. The book of Proverbs in God's Old Testament, it's called the Great Wisdom Book of the Word. Of course, Solomon was the author there and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And God comes to Solomon and he asks Solomon a question: what do you want me to do for you? Now, is that a question or what? What do you want me to do for you? And of all the things that he could have said, the Bible says that Solomon said, Lord, that I could have wisdom to lead your great people. And the Bible says God granted him his request. God gave him wisdom. And there's so much that he speaks on. But one of the main topics of Solomon in the book of Proverbs is about relationships in the marriage and about how to express love. I want you to listen to, and I give this, I think, in your outline, but Proverbs 18:21. This is from the Message version. It says, Solomon writes, he says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Isn't that a powerful statement about words? That he said, they're either poison or they are fruit. They are life. You choose. The reality is that God just doesn't tell me that one time. It's like he comes back again and again and again. It's either that God is saying you don't get it or you keep forgetting it, because he keeps repeating it in Scripture. Chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave, listen, of abuse. The verb, the words. Proverbs 12, 18. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Chapter 15, verse 4. This is from the Message. Kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. Proverbs 16, 24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and health for the body. So it's like again and again and again. Solomon keeps teaching us wisdom, and he says, in your relationship, one of the things you've got to always be mindful of is what is coming out of your mouth. What is it that you are saying to other people? There's like this pattern, the power and effect of communication in relationships. And God brings it over into the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. The Message translation says, watch the way you talk. Say only what helps. And so I've got to ask myself the question. Here's what I want you to ask you on this Valentine's Day. How well am I communicating love to my spouse, to my this person that I just believe is part of my future, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, that you just see this is a person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with? How well are you communicating love to them? And mom and dad, how well are you and I communicating love to our children? Our adult children, our older children, in any of that. Gary Chapman wrote a book that many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with. It's the Five Love Languages. And I want to pull some stuff from that book and just give it to you. And here's the bottom line. I need to hear love language from Catherine. I don't need to hear it from any other woman, but I need to hear it from her. I need to know, there's no other woman on this earth that can get to me like her, right? And if you're in a marriage relationship, I want you to understand, there is nobody that can hurt your wife like you. And there is nobody that can reach out and touch your husband like you. And this message is primarily, I'm just going to use kind of a 22 here this morning. It is primarily for those of us who are married. But if you're an unmarried man or woman and you don't believe that God has given you the gift of celibacy and you're looking forward to marriage, then listen up. I can save you a lot of grief in the future. And so I want you to listen very carefully. Look at the truth in your outline. Every spouse needs to hear these love languages from their spouse, but each spouse hears love differently. Now, that's worth the price of admission right there, if we were charging. The way I hear love and the way Catherine hears love are two different things. And it's not just man-woman. It is different. You know, I've thought about this so much about how she hears love and how I hear love, and we hear it differently. So here's the insight in your outline. Your love language and your spouse's love language can be as different as English and Russian. And I pull that right out of my marriage. Catherine speaks English, I speak Russian. All right? And I'll tell you what that means. That means if Catherine tries to talk to me in her love language, all I'm hearing is blah, 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 blah. It doesn't make any... All right, you all know I wear hearing aids, right? I do. And, you know, I never listen to loud music and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, mowing the yard, weed eaters, leaf blowers, all this stuff damages. So, FYI, if you're doing that, guys, put in the earplugs, unless you would like to have several thousand dollars in each ear in the future and wonder where you're going to spend that money. So, we're in our house, right? And we've made this investment. Catherine's off in another room. And so she's wanting to talk to me. I have hearing issues. And she's off in another room, another part of the house, and she's just talking up a storm to me. I'm over here, and I'm hearing, nom, 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 nom. So I thought, you know, I need to kind of let her understand that. So I'll just raise back and I'll blah, 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 blah. And she'll come out and she'll say, what did you say? I said the same thing you did. Blah, 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 blah. I cannot understand you. Now, I'm washing a little laundry here, I realize that. But I want you to understand that you can carry that right over into the thing of me expressing love to her and her expressing love to me. Because what she hears that means love to her and what I hear that means love to me is two different languages. And because we didn't understand that at the beginning of our marriage, we had some rough roads. And no matter how hard I try to say I love you in Russian, her English ears can't understand that. And so Chapman says there are basically five dominant love languages and with the majority of people. And they're critical. And here's the reason why I want you to understand this. Because feeling loved is the central most important thing in a marriage. If you're going to have a good marriage, if you want to have a great Valentine's, your husband, your wife has got to feel you love them. They need to feel you care about them. And so here's the truth in your outline. God's long-awaited answer to your prayers for your spouse could be answered this morning by this message. That you're going to learn why your prayers haven't been answered the way you wanted to. And God is simply saying, here is the reason why. Today, the sexiest conversation that, now listen to me, listen. The sexiest conversation you can have with your husband or with your wife today on Valentine's is whenever you go out, if you're going to go out and have a special meal somewhere, you know, or whatever, here's the sexiest conversation you can have. That you look across the table at each other and say, let's talk about our love language. I want to know that I know that I know what your love language is. And I want you to understand what mine is. That is one of the sexiest conversations you can have. Because it's going to help in that home for you to understand how that you are really loved by that other person. It is very possible in many marriages and engaged relationships that the emotional love tank of one or both those people is very low. And that can be the reason why there's not a lot going on emotionally between you as a husband and a wife, because you just don't feel love. So let me, that's the introduction. And so here we go. What are the five words? Let me just, we're going to hit this running, okay? Because I want to give this to you. Number one, or I think it's number two in your outline, is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. What that means is that my love tank, and whether it's husband or wife, your love tank is filled through your ears when you receive positive words of affirmation. That there, it's just it is a positive thing. That means that if your love language is words of affirmation, then what says I love you from your husband or your wife is when they give you verbal compliments. They just compliment you. They encourage you. They say kind things to you. They say words that build you up. And what that means is if your wife, if her love language is words of affirmation, a critical word from you is like an atom bomb. It's like, boom! And it just cuts them to the core. What that means is you've got to give about 10 or 15 words of affirmation just to wipe out that one word of negativity. Why? Because you just slice and dice them. Because their love language is words of affirmation. And you cut them. So for this person, criticism from the person closest to them is absolutely horrible. And so our plan ought to be, if that's your husband or that's your wife, you want to compliment them as much as you can during this month. And I mean, it's a real deal. You just start noticing those things that mean a lot to you and things that you can compliment them. You look for strengths. Tell them how much you appreciate them. You affirm them for things that they do, who they are, what they bring to the marriage. Now, this is one of my love languages, words of affirmation. Now, let me just tell you something about me. In one of our chest of drawers at home is a stack of birthday cards. Probably wouldn't expect this from a guy, but because my love language is words of affirmation, I can take you back with birthday cards probably 7 to 8 years. I've had to go through and maybe just, you know, because it's just getting too big. But birthday cards from Catherine, from Kristen, and from Joel. And the reason they're so important to me is because of the words that are written. It isn't primarily the card, it's the time to write something in there. And Joel and Kristen and Catherine would write things over to the side. The boys write particularly about, Dad, this is what, when you did these things as we were growing up, this just meant so much to us. And you being the example for us to follow as a man. I'll tell you something. I latched onto that. I can't throw them away. Why? Because that's my love language. And you're talking about making me sore. Man, I just, you know, I feel like I'm ready to go. You know, this is good. This just feeds my soul. And so I keep those cards. Why? Because one of my primary love languages is words of affirmation. And then number three is quality time. This is the other one. This is giving, it's when you give your spouse undivided attention. If this is the love language of your husband or your wife, now listen, their love tank gets filled when they get you. When they get you. And so tonight, if you're going to take them out, if your spouse's love language is quality time, then that means when you go out, if his or her love language is quality time, that means you need to sit in such a way that you're not distracted and your husband or your wife has your undivided attention. You don't want to be looking at anything else. You don't want your eyes to wander. You want them to like be glued on him or her. Why? Because they want you. And the way that you tell them you love them is you spend time with them. That means expressing love to them means that you think about what is it that they want you to do with them. Maybe it's to, you know, to take a trip or go to a nice restaurant and have a meal with them, or you know, talking at the end of the day with the TV off, and you don't answer your cell phone, and you don't text, and you don't check your emails. You put all that stuff away because it's just them. And what you're doing is you're putting gas in their emotional tank. And you are telling them, babe, I love you. Because it's just you. Focused attention on them. That's just what feeds their tank. And here's the insight. Being late, being distracted, and most of all, breaking a date unless you need to be hospitalized puts you all the way back to square one. Why? Because their love language is quality time. And that means time with you. All right, that's what they need. That says, I love you, because you give them quality time. And then next is receiving gifts. I don't know of anybody who doesn't appreciate gifts from time to time. I mean, I think all of us do. But for some people, gift giving says more than anything else, I love you. That you give them some kind of meaningful gift. This is perhaps my second primary love language. Now, I'll tell you how Catherine shows she loves me. She's good at this. She'll go off on a girl day, and she'll be gone all day or whatever. She'll come in late in the evening, and she will bring in a bag, sometimes a specialty coffee. Cha-ching. I mean, what? Hello? In this specialty coffee, or she'd brought in a decadent donut. And you already know how much I love those things, or some kind of cupcake or some kind of dessert. Just anything like that that just simply says, I love you. And then attached to this is, and this is in your outline, I think, is the gift of presence. And what I mean by that, presence. It's different from quality time. It is the gift of showing up. It is a gift. And that just simply means that when I have a birthday or when there is an anniversary or some key event in my life, you are physically present. That's a gift. It is the gift of you. And it just crushes the spirit of somebody whose love gift is gift if you don't even show up for something that's important for them. The gift of giving yourself. And then there is acts of service. This is when you do something to serve your wife, to serve your husband. It can be maybe your wife, it would really mean a lot for you to cook a meal for her, set the table, empty the dishwasher, vacuum, change a baby's diaper, trim the shirt. Here's the truth. For an active service spouse, saying, let me do that, is their love language. That just means a lot to them. But here's the insight I want you to see next. Your act of service must connect with them. In other words, it's got to be something that means something to them, not just something that means something to you. See, a guy can spend his day out in the yard, mowing the yard, trimming the hedges, doing all this, sweeping, raking, doing all of that, and he's doing it for his wife, and his wife is like, nah. Why? It just doesn't ring her bell. But if that guy comes in and he does something that she doesn't like he said, babe, I want to just mop the kitchen floor for you. Or, I want to vacuum. I give the kids a bath. She's just like, take me in your arms, babe, I'm yours. Why? Because it just means you love her. But here's a warning. If your spouse has a love language of service, do not be lazy about helping and about coming to their aid. And for whatever you do, if your wife, if her love language is acts of service, do not drop your underwear on the floor, guys. Do not drop your socks around the house. Do not throw clothes over this, that, or why? Because you're creating more work for her. Now, if you want to ring her bell, you kept clean up the house. Because that's acts of service, and that means something to her. And then lastly is physical touch. Like holding hands, kissing, embracing. That just means so much to her. When you're walking, if your spouse, if their love language is physical touch, if you want to just reach out and grab their hand when you're walking. Come up behind them, kind of massage their shoulders. Just anything to touch them, that just means I care. But here's the insight, and I think this is so funny. Often a porcupine will marry a teddy bear or a cuddler. I don't understand that. Opposites attract. She wants to snuggle, and he's like, oh, it makes me sweat, you know. It's just, you know, getting real close. And let me just show you. I've got a clip for you. This is from the Chicago Bulls game where they have this kissing video. So watch this on the screen. Let me show you. This guy is just clueless. I don't understand what's wrong here. Note to self. Okay, there you go. So, what's your love language? You probably know. Listen, if you want to know a good exercise for today when you're with your loved one in a special way or whatever, if you don't know, if you've never taken the test, you can go online to number 5 and then love languages, 5lovelanguages.com. And it takes about 10-minute test that you and your spouse can do, and you can find your love language. It's the love language that you express. The reality is that you understand it's most likely not your spouse's love language. You have yours, he or she has theirs. And so the important thing, one of the most godly things you could do today to honor God with your marriage is to find out if you're expressing love in a way that's meaningful to your husband or to your wife. And I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. Stacy's going to come. We're going to have just a little bit of music. I want to give you an opportunity with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to think about where you are in your marriage relationship. I want you to think about how you're doing in expressing love to your spouse, to your husband, to your wife. God has given them as a gift to you. And your calling is to love them with the love of Christ. And it may be this morning that you're at a place where maybe the emotional level in your relationship is not real high. But here's the thing. You don't feel your way into an action. You act your way into a feeling. In other words, you do what you're supposed to do and the feelings follow. And I want heads to stay bowed and eyes closed. But I want to ask this morning, if I could just pray over you as a couple, for God to just give you a blessed day, for you to have a good time together and at this season of the year when we think about love and the home. If you as a husband and a wife would just stand wherever you are, just take each other by the hand. Let me pray over you. Nobody's looking around. But if your desire is me just to pray over you and over your home and for y'all to have that special conversation, that today you're going to talk about our love language and how we're doing in expressing love. I don't care if you're just married or you've been married for a long time. Would you just grab each other by the hand and just stand wherever you are, heads bowed and eyes closed, and let me pray over you this morning. Father, thank you this morning for what we've learned from the Word. God, this is just, if there's anything that can hurt the message of Christ in the church, it's the breaking up of homes. That the world looks at us and says, if Christianity doesn't help them in their home, how can it help me? And so, Father, all of us at one time or another need to do better. And I want to thank you for the Word this morning. And thank you, God, for just the practicalness of expressing love to each other. Thank you for working in Dr. Chapman's life to just teach us, God, how to express love in a meaningful way. And that you've made each of us according to our own way. And each of us hears love differently. And one of our jobs as a husband, as a wife, is to learn the love language of our partner, our other half, and then to love them in a way that's meaningful to them. And so, Father, I pray that for these men and women who are here this morning, that we will just honor you by how we show love to each other. So thank you, Father. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the things that have been taught that can be shared with others. And I pray this message will have a wide audience and that many couples will begin to draw closer to each other because they're going to start talking each other's language. Thank you now, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Watch this.